Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of PM Quickie Reviews. We just went and saw Kick-Ass 2, and there's lots of varying opinions about it. but it was a bunch of fun, and we saw the, not midnight show, but the pre-release Thursday night show.
The 1040 show.
The 1040 show, yeah, because we're so hardcore 1040 at night. It's late.
It's like the midlife crisis midnight show.
I know. I gotta say, I almost wish that they were still at 12, because then I could go home and take a nap and then go to the movie.
I've been missing the 12 o'clock show too, except we go to the one that's later than 10 on the night that I have to open at work the next morning.
Like, well, I said, the middle-aged midnight showing.
The middle age, we have better shit to do in the morning.
Yes.
I don't.
So, let's go ahead and introduce ourselves, starting with Dustin.
Hey.
Chris.
Hello, hello.
Chris is a newcomer, friend with Joe. You guys work together, right?
That's right.
And then, of course, we have Joe Vicious, the Battle Axe.
Ka-thunk, yeah.
And then, of course, with us, we have Justin from AskAMetalhead.com.
What's up?
And then back with us, man, this is your second time on any kind of a PM anything. We're glad to have you back. Senor Beardo, Mr. Matt.
That's me. Back again.
And then John Harder from waterfrontcomics.com.
Hello, hello, hello.
And then, of course, I'm JP from pandamanga.com. So, the way we do this, structure-wise, is we're going to go around and we're going to each say something we liked about it, and or, you know, thoughts about what we liked, and then we'll go back around what we didn't like, and then our final review, and any kind of final thoughts we might have. So, why don't we start with the people who haven't actually read the comics? So, who hasn't read the comics?
Guilty.
I haven't
at all.
What did you think of the movie? What were some things that you actually liked about the movie, specifically?
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Dustin's favorite part was when the blonde was dancing.
It was my favorite part.
I think we're all... I mean, it's awful because, like, you feel... It's hot, but it's also, like, really awful.
She's a high schooler.
Yeah.
I don't think that actress is a high schooler.
No.
Probably not.
In real life, she's probably like 26. So
that makes me less pedo-y.
It's true.
At least they were fapping in the movie, too.
So, Dustin, continue.
I thought that a lot of the fight scenes were really enjoyable.
Definitely.
Kind of the first major fight scene where the whole team gets together and they went to like the...
Oh, yeah, the prostitution ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great scene. And pretty close to the comics.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you were talking about when Kick-Ass was fighting with a zipper, but
that was good too.
That was pretty.
That hilarious. Was a treat.
Anything else stand out in particular?
I don't know. I enjoyed it as a whole. I thought it was a lot of fun.
A bunch of fun to kind of take away.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, what do you think, man?
I'm not familiar at all with Kick-Ass or Kick-Ass 2. I haven't even read the first one. But the brutality of the story, just the way they relentlessly start killing off characters, I thought it's awesome. It really adds a lot. It grounds it, really. It makes it a more, instead of being like a superhero story, it's more of a, these people that are being superheroes. I like that a lot.
It's definitely in line with Miller's vision.
Yeah.
Anything else that stands out to you that you really enjoyed?
Visually, I think, you know, we all kind of really enjoyed that visual style. It was really graphic and really, yeah, just really enjoyable as a whole. It's a fun ride.
Yeah, so far, I mean, like, that's definitely one thing that I took away from it, just good-wise, is that it was really fun. I mean, it was definitely really fun. All other things that I'm going to complain about in a minute aside.
Right.
Yes. So, next, Matt, what were some things that really stood out to you that you really enjoyed?
All right. Best thing about the movie, three words. Donald fucking Faison.
Yes.
Seriously, best part of the movie for me. I don't know what. I just love that guy. And I didn't realize he was in the movie until I saw him. I was like, holy shit, this is great. And so there was a lot of actors like John Leguizamo showing up. I didn't really pay attention to the cast that close. I knew there was a couple people like Jim Carrey. I was like, oh, this is awesome. But the couple guys that I saw that showed up was like, this is the casting for this movie was awesome.
It was a lot of recognizable people in the movie, like for sure.
Exactly.
That even played sort of incidental small parts. Yeah. And really maybe had 10 minutes of screen time, if that.
Exactly. That was probably one of the best things I thought about it, is just the casting for that movie, and the people that do the casting for it is just spot on.
I was wondering when we were watching it, I thought to myself, how many of these people were wanting to be part of the project because they were fans of the comic? Because you get that a lot. You get people that are willing to do a smaller role or get paid a little less just to be involved in something they really enjoy.
Yeah.
Like Carl Urban doing Dread. You know, that's a perfect example of that, where he's a huge freaking Dread fan. You know,
he's actually lobbying for a second movie. Yeah,
absolutely.
I hope
I hope happens, because that wasn't a, it was a good dread.
Yeah, for sure.
It failed in the box office, but apparently it did really well on DVD.
It's killing.
So they're actually looking at the
It did the huge sequel. It did huge in the international market, as well as you'd expect from you know, an English comic doing better over there than over here.
Now it's just so, I don't really care where it did well, if it did, just as long as it does well enough for us to get more, because that was freaking awesome.
It was well done.
Cool. So anything else, Matt, stand out, really enjoyed?
Oh, the weapons, the variety of weapons that they, the incidental weapons that they come up with is really great. The just the random things that they found, putting a brick in your purse to beat somebody, right. Like stuff like that. Just the humor.
Like that's her signature weapon.
Yeah,
I fucking love that.
Well, yeah, there was a bit of organic, you know, vigilantism that sort of happens there, where they, you know, it's not stuff that they sort of would have, right? So they're learning how to fight this little group.
Oh, yeah, so many of these guys are stumbling through the whole superhero air quotes.
Even Kick-Ass himself. So.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so Joe.
And now here is where the reviews are going to change.
Well, we're still doing things we like, so keep it in that box if you can.
Yeah.
Kerthunk.
So I actually liked how much they were able to stick to the comic. The really important parts, I think. His dad, the funeral.
Yeah.
The really story-driven stuff.
The poker scene, the fight poker. On the van, yeah.
That's
yeah.
right. You know, you're right. The story-driven stuff in particular.
Yeah.
Well, the stuff that, and another thing, I think, you know, the fact that the little supergroup, you know, it was really community service, right?
Yeah.
Most of the time.
And talking about, you know, helping out at the soup kitchen, helping drunk college girl home. It still had enough of the Kick-Ass flavor that this one actually did a lot better by me than the first one. I guess the romantic comedy part of it, I was able to brush that away enough because there was still so much of the comic there.
Just, so yeah, many Justin people in the room right now are just like, no! But it's Joe's turn.
I was able to not look at it because I was still looking at the stuff they pulled out of the comic. And a couple of the small things that they changed, I was able to give a grain of salt and yeah, whatever, okay. They still kept in the hit girl on top of the van and the dog biting the dude's cock. And
Although he got to keep his
he did get to keep business. It, yeah.
Yeah, which was not in the comic.
This is true.
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm coming away happiest with, is the important stuff.
Yeah, the major plot points, story-wise, were communicated well, transitioned. Yeah,
except for the ending.
So, staying with the good, Justin.
I know, right? Put your battle axe away.
Here, I'll pass it.
I liked
can borrow mine.
Everything except for about the last 10 minutes. And having read the comic, I was disappointed that there was no mother. Minnie didn't have a mother, so Hit Girl's mother didn't exist.
She was dead in the first movie too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I didn't remember that. Okay.
That was one of Joe and my big problems with the first movie. One, right?
Mm-hmm. That's, I thought the movie actually stayed true to itself within the world they set.
Yeah, within the world that the movie I forgot created about in the first one, they continued on very cohesively. So,
better than the X-Men movies did.
could shit in a bucket and it would stay together better than that.
So things you like.
Oh, that escalated quickly.
Things you like.
So even little tiny subtle things, okay? Like in the comic, when they're texting each other, the texts were different colors. His texts were like a little light green and her texts were purple, and they mirrored that in the movie. And there were little comic panels when they were speaking the Japanese and translating, and I thought that kind of stuff was really cool.
On screen comic effects are always fun if they're done tastefully.
If they're done right,
yeah.
And I think it was enough in there that it was, you know, it was good. And again, this is a very dark, very violent, very
Millar
comic, and they held on to a lot of that. And I actually liked sort of the comedy aspect that they threw into it, because I think the translation would probably not work well otherwise. There has to be a little bit, because it is really dark.
And the comic's humor is super dark humor.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how well that would have translated to real human beings on the screen, getting away with that sort of incredibly cavalier about human life, you know, to the point where it's like these people are just a bunch of sociopaths. Like there are points in the comics you're reading, it's like these are just a bunch of awful human beings. Like that's right. Sociopaths, that's all right. That's happening right here.
In the comic, you know, she, one of the things that she does is she, you know, Hit Girl goes on sort of this rampage and she decides I'm going to kill every single one a different way. And she's already
she
got
makes
it mapped
a list
out,
of like
right?
43 things that she's right. 43 different ways she can kill people. And she's working her way down the list.
She didn't touch on that in the movie, but they did kind of give a nod to where she sort of talks about, you know, you have to have an entrance. You have to have something that you say, like, you know,
yeah,
like
I love
a,
their
like
practice
catchphrase. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And so she kind of gave you that. There was some of that. So I liked a lot of it. I liked the, you know, the violence or, well, I liked the action.
I liked the violence. I liked it.
Yeah. But I'll be honest, you know, Jim Carrey actually went out and sort of he's very outspoken about not promoting this movie. And he's one of, you know, a very, very short list of actors or actresses that decided after a movie was done not to promote it. And he did it because of the Sandy Hook violence.
Yeah.
But honestly, watching it very critically because of that, and I thought, I don't really feel that this movie was overly violent. It wasn't that bad compared
Go ahead, Dustin.
They actually had said one of the reasons Jim Carrey originally took the role was because, you know, I haven't read the comics, so I don't know for sure, but apparently the character refused to actually use guns. And so that was actually one thing that, or something, it was something along those lines.
Yeah. And
That character has very, very strict moral code. Yeah,
was actually one of the things that Jim Carrey liked about the character he was getting to play in that. And that was one of the reasons he accepted the role.
Yeah, and that actually stayed really true to the comic.
Definitely.
Almost like word for word, yeah. Even.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually thought Kick-Ass 2 had a lot less gun violence and actual regular violence than the first Kick-Ass movie.
Yeah.
Because there was all kinds of shootings and killings in there when they're taking on the gangsters. And
mm-hmm. So, John, things you liked?
One of the nitpicky things that I think only someone that sells comics would notice that I really liked was in Dave's room, the posters on the wall were all for Miller books.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
When his father is pinning up. Yeah, yeah.
There was,
right?
yeah. There was
the
one,
superior one.
Yeah, there was a superior one and one for American Jesus. And that put a little smile on my face. I really also liked
the dance scene.
Shit.
I also really liked, even though it was a new addition to it, John Leguizamo's character.
Yeah, he was great.
Is pretty much the only one that cared about Chris DiMarco.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked his character a lot. And in seeing him, how his demise happened, I thought was a really good moving on point for the motherfucker.
Well, I mean, he easily was the closest thing that Chris ever had to somebody who actually cared about him. And tried to do right by him and all that. I mean, the rest of his family, mom, dad, his dad's enforcers, like none of them took him seriously. None of them took him seriously. None of them were willing to give him the time of day. They all thought he was just this, you know, stupid little comic book kid. And he was the only guy that actually seemed like a good human being to him and treated Chris right.
Right.
Even though Chris didn't deserve it at all.
Within the bounds of, being a bad guy or whatever.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was most concerned about is the actor that plays that character, that plays motherfucker, is it Christopher Mintz-Plasse? Like, he's
McLovin.
McLovin. aside from his speech impediment, which drives me fucking nuts, I didn't think that he could carry it. And I thought he did a really good job of balancing that sort of being sort of a dipshit. And then kind of crossing the line slowly, but also you saw his character grow into that sort of maniacal. Like, you can see why he just at some point just snaps. Like, he kind of snaps, but, you know, he was on his way. He was pushing himself, and then there's some things that happen that kind of finally push him over the edge.
I can remember thinking when I watched the first movie that why in the world was he put in that role?
Exactly.
Especially after reading the comic book, the Red Mist's character was a much stronger character in the first book. And then when you go into the events in this story, he becomes this sort of impotent little twit who is progressively...
Literally impotent.
Yeah, I mean, progressively leaning more and more on his money and is impatient and just kind of having little temper tantrums and causing trouble and at the same time not living in reality and killing people and just being a monster. But also, when push comes to shove, being a little bitch.
Yeah, he wants the end result, but it isn't willing to...
Oh, not at all.
To sweat for it or bleed for it.
And so, I mean, I thought that the actor, the McLovin guy, that he was a good choice for that because he seems sort of like a little small, weaselly little dude. And he plays those kind of guys on a regular basis. And so that felt like a better fit for who Chris was in this film and then this story arc.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. But he did actually play it
very, he did a really good job. Yeah. Yeah, I felt like he fit better in this movie than he did in the first, I think.
I also liked the scene where Red Mist's mother dies. I thought that was a great, funny scene.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. That was awesome. So, I mean, I guess most of the things that I would say I liked have already been said. I think that it was good that they didn't shy away from violence. They definitely shied away from a certain things that way hell across the line, violence-wise, in the comic. But it's kind of a different sort of disturbing violence. And they went out of their way to not do a couple of those things, which is, I guess, understandable. And
even joke about not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that other than that, they, just like the first movie, did not shy away from blood, gut, stabbings, and all that sort of stuff, which is, you know, I think a good thing, because it's supposed to be real world and violence, supposed to be in the part of the whole idea of the Kick-Ass story is, no, it's not all comic books and fun. This is violent and gory and bloody, and people get hurt and people die, and you get your ass kicked, literally, and you have to go to prison or you have to go to the hospital. Like, there's a layer of gritty, cautionary tale feeling to both, I mean, to, you know, all of this stuff, Kick-Ass wise. Right. And I think that's good that they don't shy away from that they don't do the whole, you know, Wolverine stabs the holy shit out of somebody and pulls the claws out and they're clean and there's no blood everywhere. And it's like, it's nice when they do that and it's like, oh shit, you know,
there's a reason for that.
Yeah, it's PG-13.
No, it's because you're wearing a shirt and the shirt cleans.
Oh, the answer.
Shit. If that was really the case and we would all eat toilet paper and our shit would come out and our asses would just be wiped.
You don't?
Wait, that's a thing?
Oh, no, no.
Baby wipes, my friend. Baby wipes.
So let's go back around and see what we didn't like. So starting with Dustin, what were some things you did not like? And let's keep it to two, because this is running long already.
I'd say the main thing that I didn't like was the portrayal of Kick-Ass's character in the beginning. Again, I haven't read the comics. So I don't know if they had him kind of revert like this, but it felt like his personality reverted to like before what he kind of gained in terms of his personality growing in the first one, where it felt like he kind of wussified again rather than having kind of the personality traits that he gained in the first one really becoming Kick-Ass.
Well, him actually becoming any kind of a badass is basically a fabrication of the movies. Like, I'm currently reading Kick-Ass 3 and he's still a bitch.
But he's also
he's still a bitch.
In the comic, this is one thing that's really important. If you know, those of us, they're both much younger characters in the comic.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, they're middle
school. She's 12 years old in, so, I guess, Hit Girl. Anyway, yeah. She's 12. I mean, they're little kids.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Anything else, Dustin, that you weren't happy with?
I guess just a couple of the scenes that felt really this kind of cheesy and thrown in there.
Oh, she's totally worth $50,000 a year.
$50,000 a week there, plus expenses.
Not even that. It was some of the really early stuff in the movie. I'm almost forgetting, you know, examples. But there was
wipe it from your memory.
But there were a couple things really early on that just kind of felt odd. I don't know how to explain it beyond that.
All right. So, Chris.
The one big thing that kind of bothered me was that it all felt really crammed together. I don't know if that makes sense, but just having to go from Hit Girl's story to Kick-Ass's story, and then on to Motherfucker's story.
There's a huge amount of comics that were squeezed into an hour and a half.
There's a lot of content that I feel like is being crammed in there.
Oh, yeah.
And for me, it felt, I don't want to say schizophrenic because that seems a little loaded, but it just jumped around a lot. And it wasn't hard to follow, but it made the ending that much more abrupt.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So that's my big thing.
Okay, Matt, something that stood out to you really didn't like.
The lame ass scene after the credits. That was just
tacked on.
Yeah, I didn't see any reason to stay and watch that. Like, after spending the 10 seconds that it took to watch it, I was like, I could have been out in the parking lot in the car sooner.
I could have Googled it.
Yeah, no, no thank you.
YouTube.
Yeah. For those of you that are listening to this before you've seen the movie, which is hopefully what you would do because it's a review, don't stay to the end. It's just not worth it. Look it up on YouTube. It's stupid. Anyway. All right. So, going back to Joe, something you didn't like about the film.
Unsheathing the battle axe.
The two absolute worst things for me were the cheesy reaction shots of the other two henchmen while Mother Russia's, like, ripping apart the cops.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bad.
It's like out of a 90s kids TV show. Like, the other bad guys are, oh no!
Well, look at her go.
They're showing the things that she's doing in pretty gory detail. Uh-huh. And then they were doing what you would do in a movie where you didn't want to show the detail, where she's about to do it. And then it clips to the other guys watching and they go, oh, damn. Yeah. And you have to imagine what's happening. And it just felt out of place and weird.
Yeah. And they were being way over the top with it. The triad guy was being super Asian about it. Like, yeah. Oh, no. Like, ew.
Yeah. Yeah, at one point he's, you know, he drops his sushi roll and he's angry. You know, it's almost that Asian.
Yeah. John Leguizamo's character makes fun of the motherfucker or like says, can we stop with the awful racial stereotypes?
And man, he's like, it's archetypes. Yeah.
But man, those characters just worked right into him.
Yeah, they did. For sure.
So a reoccurring theme that I've seen, why is every Russian in every movie ever since like the late 80s blonde? Is there really nobody
Blonde even. Yeah. Bleach blonde. And in the comics,
she's got
dark. Muscled.
She's got long. Yeah. Well, from the neck down. God damn. Mm.
Yeah, she's ridiculous.
You could squeeze my neck anytime you want.
Was she the same Russian lady from Pacific Rim?
Who would be surprised.
I mean, so.
They all look the same in movies now. How do you know?
They all look like Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah. Or Brigitte Nielsen.
Yeah.
So, Justin, some things that stood out to you. Pick two. Two things.
The other thing, though.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Joe.
The chocolate pudding poop.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah, that was...
That was too much.
No, thank you.
You want to go for some soft serve?
I would have rather have seen Hit Girl hang her off of the...
Oh, my
railing.
God.
Yeah. But it was funny. You know, you're like, all good.
I literally nudge Joe when the girls start to be a bitch to Hit Girl. And I'm like, are we going to see it? Are we going to see it? Are we going to see it?
Yeah. I wanted to see it, too.
And then instead Fingers we got crossed. A poop stick.
Having read the comic, as I know that this was coming up, one of the things I had to really get through, and, you know, I put a lot of thought into, like, how could you do this in a movie and pull it off so that it wasn't, you know, like, you'd have to cut so much to make it not so incredibly dark and violent and brutal. And so I think they did a really good job of that by making it sort of a little bit lighthearted, but it wasn't overly campy. A couple of things I really didn't like about it were about the last 10 minutes of the movie, I thought were just really crap. You know, it got almost sort of, it's almost like they were like, well, we can't kill him this way or we can't have the ending happen this way. So what would Bond do? You know, like, what would happen in a Bond movie? Let's throw him into a shark tank. You know, it's kind of like, oh, come on.
Well, that was in the comic, though. He had a shark, didn't he?
The shark was dead.
Yeah, but the shark was dead.
Yeah, but he was wanting to have the shark eat Kick-Ass.
Right, that was funny, because when they show his, like, his evil lair, he's bitching about the shark being dead in the comic. And then sort of, I just, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's a little love story between the two of them, which I just thought, oh, God, don't fucking do that.
That was a huge,
and then they did it.
Huge mistake.
So... But other than that, up till that point, I thought they did a really good job. And in most things, you know, I would have liked to have seen her, because I think in the comic, her taking a lot of shit from the girls in school is what kind of keeps her on the edge and never really lets her get over to the normal side. Like, because she is basically a sociopath. Her character is sort of a trained killer who just doesn't have any compassion.
No, there's no basically about it.
Right. And so, you know, it's a little soft on that. But the whole movie overall, like it is fairly soft against what the comic really displays. Like, for example, at the end of the comic, she is bloody. And in the movie, sort of like, oh, let's smack down her wrist. You know, it wasn't as bad. So, I mean, overall, I think my complaints were the last 10 minutes, just you lost me.
The third act, again.
Yeah.
I think there was no jetpack, though.
The third act is a lot longer than just the last 10 minutes. But the last 10 minutes were like, come on. Mm-hmm. But.
So, John Harder, what do you think?
Again, it was some of the things they did with the Hit Girl character from the differences in the book. I don't want to be that guy like, oh, the book was so much better. I'm such a pretentious dick. But when they had her at the slumber party and they put on the One Direction-ish
video,
the Hit Girl in the comic, there would have been no way she would have related to that. And had
exactly.
I was waiting for it, you know, to watch it and be like, what was that kind of shit? You know? And instead it's like, oh, I'm in love with this boy band. Yeah. I mean, Justin and I both have young daughters around Hit Girl's age. And there was no way.
In the movie.
Yeah. There is no way that they would be into any of that kind of stuff.
No.
And
No. Thankfully.
Justin has the most metal children ever.
By some stroke of luck, my kids like metal. And specifically like grindcore and death metal.
Dude, there's no luck to it. You've trained them like Big Daddy trained Hit Girl.
You know, it's one of those things you just can't push on your kids. But if you play it in the car long enough, they'll listen to it.
Whereas mine is just the opposite. Loves the My Little Ponies and,
yeah,
and anime pop stuff. But which is cool. Can't, you know, stand One Direction or the, yeah, Bieber.
So. That's good.
Anything else that stood out to you, John?
Again, you know, it's all kind of been touched on. It was a lot more lighthearted than I was expecting because the book was so dark. But when we walked out of the theater, there were some people standing outside that I knew, and they're like, "Oh, we loved it. It was so dark." Yeah. I'm like, "What?
Bitch, you don't know dark."
I'm like, "Here, come to the store tomorrow and I'll hand you Kick-Ass 2 and then you can tell me what dark is."
Yeah, exactly.
Comes in its own plastic sleeve, yeah, to protect you from the blood that comes out of it.
Yeah. And the shit stick while it was cute, I didn't really think it fit in well with. I would have much rather seen her dangling the head bitch off the roof and dropping it in a garbage truck.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think that's probably one of my biggest frustrations is that going into the movie, knowing that they had made certain changes from the comic in the first film, and then if they were going to stay consistent with the film universe they were building, separate from the comic universe, that the films are based on the comics, they're not a direct translation. Mm-hmm. There were some things that had to be changed, and there were things that were going to feel a little weird and awkward, like the fact that her mom isn't around, I felt like gave Hit Girl... It made it much less believable that she wanted to stop being Hit Girl.
Right, right.
The motivations for your mom is having a mental breakdown. She can't handle you doing this shit. She's been through enough with you being gone for so many years because your dad was a crazy bastard and he stole you away as a child. It makes sense for her to be like, "That's right. Okay, I'm going to be a good kid. I'm not going to ruin my mom's brain."
It's an anchor. It's an anchor in the comic.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. And because they had the mom taken out of the picture in the movie, then that really heavy plot point that they lean on for her motivations to totally and dramatically change the way that her character acts and interacts with the world around her in the following stories that this movie covers, they still had her have the same motivations, act the same way, choose to not be Hit Girl, avoid things, stay out of the fight for most of the film.
Right.
And it just didn't stick. It didn't make sense as much. You know, I mean, as much as Marcus was a big part of her young life while her dad was in prison in the films and everything, and they're very close, it's not anything like protecting your mother because she's a mental wreck.
Right, right, right.
Like, that makes a whole lot more sense for her to feel that way. And then, again, because I'm just going to try and keep to two things. The other thing that really bothered me was the two scenes that I was the most excited about seeing in the movie from the comic books were, as you're reading the comic, you think, "Oh my God, this movie is coming. I can't wait to see this on the big screen." Scene number one, the scene where she deals with the mean bitch.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And she does an homage to Batman where she dangles her ass off of the top of the school and then drops her in a dump truck and says, "This dump truck comes by at this time every day. If you don't shape the hell up and stop being a bitch to me and start being nice and inviting me to shit and coming to my house for sleepovers, I'm going to miss it next time. I'm going to drop you a couple minutes early."
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, "Ah," you know, like, that was so, she put the fear of God in her.
Yeah.
And then those bitches were totally like at her beck and call.
Yep.
Had them wrapped around her finger. And it was the main chick that she put the fear of God in. And then the other girls just fell in line.
Right.
And in this one, she just messes with all of them and then is just the lone wolf thing.
She gives them all the shits.
I mean, it was funny, but it just did not hit. And I was desperate to watch that scene.
Well, as part of that, there's a part of her psyche that you don't get to understand in the comic where she's like, "Oh, I get it. I'm going to go to school. And
it's my secret identity.
My secret identity."
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So then the other scene that I was really, really, really excited about was the final brawl in the comic. And basically what happens in the comic book is that the motherfucker declares, "I'm going to attack the city with this army of supervillains in Times Square at this time. Be there or be square. I'm going to burn the city to the ground." And then like maybe 10, 15 minutes before the appointed time, he has his guys set bombs off and fires all over the city. And so the police that were there waiting for the army of supervillains in Times Square spread out all over the city and disappear. And then they come on the scene and do exactly what they said they were going to do, but now without resistance from the police. And so the only people that are there to stop them is this giant army of superheroes.
Right.
And you have this epic battle between villains and heroes, which is probably easily double the number of people they had in the film, in the middle of Times Square. That was such a great scene in the comics. Aside from the fact that the fights were a little more gory and a little more interesting, especially the fight between Mother Russia and Hit Girl in the comic, I liked that better.
Right, definitely.
You know, they basically because they're in Times Square, they blast through this window into some apartment store or something, and she does do the whole, like, you know, gymnastics over the counter and runs around the back, but she just handles them, and it's such a great, nasty fight. But they're very segregated. They're separate. Often their own little thing. It's dark. This is sort of like blue palette. It's really freaking cool because it pulls them outside of the fight. And the two most badass characters in the whole series get to battle it out kind of privately.
And you do have concern for Hit Girl at
that point. Oh, hell yeah.
You really do.
And they do a good job of that being an awesome fight in this movie. But it's just sort of in the middle of the fray. And it's just not as epic. And there's just, you know, a bunch of guys in costumes beating up on each other in a warehouse is not as awesome as two armies of costumed people fighting in the middle of Times Square while New York burns to the ground around them. You can't beat that. That was awesome. And I was just so excited to see that in the film. And it just didn't happen. I'm not surprised, I guess, in retrospect. That would have been an unbelievably expensive to probably do, but that would have been fucking awesome. I mean, that would have been the coolest thing.
The scene I had hoped to see the most was when they find Colonel Stars and Stripes dead with his dog's head on his body. I was hoping that they would do that because it is a very, very... That's a turning point. That's when it gets
Because everything's kind of happy-go-lucky up until then.
Yeah, they're community service.
The motherfucker is a motherfucker.
Yeah, right. The motherfucker straight up does some unbelievably horrible things that crosses lines so much farther than he does in the movie, and he crosses lines in the movie anyway.
Right.
In the comic book, I mean, he's party to all kinds of, you know, animal mutilation, rape, murder of children. Like, he's a motherfucker in the comics.
And I don't say that I hoped to see it because I wanted to see that brutality, but I wanted something to allude to it. And, you know, at one point he's like, what do you think? I'm not that much, you know, I'm not that bad of a kill the dog. I'm not that bad of a guy. Right. And so,
I don't have some kind of awful bloodlust that makes me want to see those things that they had in the comic, but
there was an impact.
I think those things in the comic were there for a purpose. They served a purpose. They moved the story forward. They illustrated the kind of people that you're dealing with here, and it added a higher level of tension. It made you hate them more.
Right. Right.
I mean, it's there for a reason. It's not just violence for violence's sake. It had a purpose. And so for that reason, I think it would have been good for it to be there. But anyway, all right. So going back around, final score out of 5, and then your fun factor out of 100%. So Dustin,
I'd say full price.
So full price is 4 out of 5.
I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was a lot of fun, so I'd probably 85 fun factor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Chris?
I'm going to say probably 4 out of 5. I really enjoyed it. 80 fun factor because of the ending.
Sure.
80.
All right. Joe?
I'm probably going to give it a matinee, the 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe full price. I don't know if you can do a 3.5. But with an 80% fun factor, this is a lot better than I thought I was expecting it to be.
Yeah, you went in with low expectations?
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Classic cynic comic book geek, huh?
Well, the same expectations I went in going into the comics for Kick-Ass 2. I was totally disillusioned after the movie and wasn't expecting much. And when I actually finally sat down and read the whole damn thing, I was pretty impressed.
Yeah.
About the same what happened here.
Mm-hmm. Justin?
I'm trying not to compare the movie to the comics as far as a quality, like a value system, because they are two completely different mediums, and you can do so much more in a comic than you can do in the movies. And so, you know, I actually, like, I enjoyed the movie. Having seen both, I think the comic was better. But yeah, I'd easily pay full price to see it. If I hadn't seen the comic, I would have been way more, or if I hadn't read the comic, I'd be way more excited about it. But I had an 85 fun factor.
Yeah, like, so 4 out of 5,
and, fun factor. I mean, it was funny in the right ways. It was action-packed. It's less of a dark movie and more of an action-packed sort of, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I feel pretty good about that.
Matt?
I'd give it a 4, because I'd have to go the same way. I'm not going to compare a comic to a movie, because there's just obviously no way you can put stuff that you can draw or paint on a comic. You can't put that on screen the same way, because, like, you brought up the budgetary restraints and all that. So I thought the movies within themselves are really good. I really like them.
Mm-hmm.
And I give it a 90 as far as a fun factor.
Nice. Because
They're super fun to watch. You sit back and you have a great time watching them. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of comedy. There's a, you know, not, there's not an overbearing love story. I mean, I didn't even feel like there was a big, oh my God, the love story between the two of them. It was more like, okay, she's young teenager. He's a teenager, whatever.
I mean, and she's charming. I mean, Chloe Moretz, she's a charming girl, you know, an interesting emerging actress. And, you know, I've enjoyed the other things she's been in. And as she gets older, she's increasingly more charming. So I can understand why they went that way.
She's super cute when they had her all dressed up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was super cute. And it's like, really, you kind of expect that at some point in that movie when you have a cute girl in a movie with a good looking guy. And you kind of have to touch on that at that age.
Sure.
Going through like the puberty aspect, that there's going to be that. But I really enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm. John,
again, comparing it to the comic versus the movie, I was a little disappointed, but taking it as its own entity, I'll give it a full price. The phone factor for me would have been a lot higher if we weren't surrounded by douchebags when we watched the movie.
I agree.
Talking,
yeah, the constantly. Dude behind me kept
talking, and then the guy that made sure to laugh as annoyingly as possible, as loud as possible,
right.
Any little thing that wasn't funny.
That's a whole nother episode.
Yeah, that's always frustrating.
Taking that out, I'll probably give it like a 95 on the fun factor. It was a fun movie. Fun movie, which it was a very dark comic to get this fun of a movie out of it. So, and like I said, four full price and a 95.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a 2.
Whoa!
Battle axe.
I passed.
I didn't even see you hand it to him. How did you do that?
So
the thing is fucking huge.
Okay, so I'm gonna give it a 2 because if I felt like they tried to have a similar enough story to the comics, but at the same time removed certain things and changed certain things from the comics that screwed up everybody's motivations, and I just felt like nobody knew who the hell they were, and everybody was stumbling all over themselves and just felt like kind of like a hot mess as far as like why they were doing what they were doing. It all felt like nobody was really truly motivated to be doing what they were up to, you know, and even if they did have a decent motivation for something, it was always a pale shadow to what it really was in the comics. And, you know, I'm not normally, you know, super harsh, and I'm normally a pretty easy critic on most movies, but I felt like the quality of the film was a hot mess in a lot of ways.
I have a quick question for you, John. Mm-hmm. What did you think was worse, the first Kick-Ass movie or this one?
This one.
Really?
Hands down. I felt like the first one, I felt like the characters in the first one were a whole hell of a lot more in alignment with who I came to think of them from the comics, and that was better. Felt like Hit Girl was much more of a crazy-ass sociopath chick. There was zero sexual tension between them because she was more the age that she actually was in the comics.
Right.
And it just felt like people were more who they were. They made some, I guess, in retrospect, kind of tasteful changes here and there, and they softened it up and made it more Hollywood cookie cutter with the character of Big Daddy's motivations, which guts it, really. I mean, guts its real true originality and brilliance, but at the same time, it still was a really, like, it was good. It was a good rendition of it. But I felt like this one was building on a House of Cards and just was all over the place.
Now, it was like, there was enough there, but there wasn't enough there, is what you're saying.
Now, conversely, and this is why we do rating as far as like skillful and quality and then fun factor, I think 85 fun factor, hands down. Yeah, it was a huge amount of fun. Great fight scenes, really, really good. But it just, the quality of the movie didn't grab me as much. But I thought it was a lot of fun. That was my takeaway, so.
The Walking Dead keeps coming to my mind. And here's why. It just keeps banging on the front of my forehead. And it's because
that's where the brains are and they want it.
Right.
And you have a lot of forehead.
Also,
I used do. To have,
and you're
I don't have a forehead.
Headbanging.
I have a 5 head. Is my forehead extended to the middle of my skull? And for this reason, this is one of those stories. This is one of those comics that if you read it and then you go see a movie that it's exactly what it is, I don't know that it would do well because, you know, it would be so dark and I think it would make people overly uncomfortable. And so in a way that may not be good for the non-comic loving community. Right. So if you have somebody that's average Joe, like, oh, let's take our kids to see this movie. And then like, you know, there's blood and guts and murdering and all, which there is a little bit of that, but it's very soft in this to have that actually translated, like, you know, the way they did Sin City, take for example, that's exactly how that story should have been told.
Yes.
It was sold as an adult film. It was built and done as an adult film.
And much more closely adapted.
Oh, yeah. It was brilliant.
It's essentially the comic on screen.
Exactly, which it should have been. This, I don't think you can do that. And now, the reason why I say Walking Dead is because if you've ever read the comics, which I have all the way up until a certain point, which I couldn't read anymore, and I've watched, you know, all the seasons, there are amazing things that they do in both that aren't necessarily parallel, but they have enough and are good enough and are well thought out enough that I don't have any problem with how the comic has gone versus how the television show has sure. gone. And that's what keeps sort of resonating with me about this movie is they made a good movie out of a phenomenal story and they didn't destroy it entirely.
Yeah. I think that a good story has something to say. And what Millar was trying to get across was lost in the translation.
Totally. I'll totally agree with you on that.
And that is a tragedy. I just think that Millar has such a unique voice and regularly interesting things to say that are very countercultural. And I don't mean cultural. I don't mean the culture at large. I mean, because especially comic book culture. He comes at comic books in such a way that you're expecting one thing, and then all of a sudden he takes this hard left turn and goes, no, we're doing this instead. And here's how I really feel about this. And it's just, I don't know, it's just powerful and unique. And it's not the same and predictable like so many other things. And it seems like Millar just can't catch a freaking break. Whenever one of his great comics comes to film, it's not just a translation and an adjustment to make it fit the medium. It's like the message, the thing he has to say gets lost in translation each time. You know, it's like, I don't think that I need to have all the nitty-gritty little details, the scenes that I wanted, but if it came through what his message was, what he was trying to get across, the tone that he was trying to set, even if all the little tiny details weren't there, that's one thing. But it just felt like kind of what he was, you know, where he was coming from was just sort of lost in the mix, which is too bad. Anyway. All right. So final thoughts, or are we all set?
Go see it, but then go read the comic.
Yeah.
I had one more point about Justin's comment about, so the movie's rated R. So it's really hard to get people interested in a rated R movie to begin with. And to have it be a comic book movie, like he said, like the comic book insiders are going to be the ones that are your built-in fan base. So you can't make it be everything that the comic is because you're going to alienate a huge group of people already. Sure.
Yeah.
Right. And I think you have to give up. I want it to be exactly like the comic because I just think that sometimes, that's why Walking Dead keeps coming back to me is because I totally am okay with the way that they did the TV show, understanding that they have to do certain things. And, you know, at a time where I was, when I saw the show first and then went back and read the comic and I was like, wait a minute, what the hell is this? Wait, what they didn't do that show. You know, what is all? And I knew the comic was first. And then I was like, but it's not bad. It's good. It's actually really good. Yeah. And I like having the two parallels. I'm okay with that. So
I just, in my opinion, I thought Man of Steel was much more dark than Kick-Ass.
Haven't seen it yet. So.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, thank you guys again for listening to a not so quickie review of Kick-Ass 2.
By the comic book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Preferably definitely from Waterfront Comics.
Yes. Yeah. Come through Waterfront Comics. John's got all the goodies. I definitely would recommend seeing the film before you see the comic, before you read the comic. Would you guys agree?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good movie. Go out and support this movie.
It's great. It's a bunch of fun. I know that I was coming down hard on it, but that's why we have the, you know, the rating for the quality of the film and then the fun factor, because there's movies that miss the mark on some things, but are just a blast.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this was. And it's totally worth going to see, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Later.
Bye.